The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, my name is
Fred Kirsch.
Hi, my name is
Andy Hart.
Hi, my name is
Paul Perillo.
Hi, my name is the show is
PFW in Progress.
Hi, the show is PFW in Progress. My name is Mr. Liff. I lurk in lakes like the Loch Ness. World's best talk show, none can come close. Oh, how rude of me, let me introduce the host, Fred Kirsch. Let's start with him first. His shoulders are boulders about as big as planet Earth. The captain of the ship, without a doubt, he's the boss. Fred, say a little something. Oh, wait, his mic's off. Andy Hart, sometimes he's Andy. Catch him after lunch break, he could make the earthquake. He's the real wild card, truly enough said. One brain contained within the width of two heads. Paul Perillo, he's the sultan of soda. 2 liters, 4 liters, gotta meet his quota. I'm out of here, y'all, I gotta catch a flight to Greece. Tell Fred to stop dreaming about Geno's peace. Hi, my name is
Fred Kirsch.
My name is
Andy Hart.
My name is
Paul Perillo.
My name is the show is
PFW in Progress.
And Eric Scalavino.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium, and we're in the midst of the NFL Combine. Eric and Fred are here. Kevin's in the booth, but Paul and Andy, they're in Indianapolis covering the Combine. And if you haven't, you really need to hop on Patriots.com, either on your desktop or your app, and check out the content that's coming out of Indy via them. Some really, really great stuff from yesterday, continuing today, as well as Bob Soucy and Jackie Britton stuff. Bob had a real nice piece on the Navy long snapper that we've been talking about. He's been just raring to get that one out there. But really, they've been going, really 100% on right now the offensive line, guys that they were able to talk to yesterday. So many decision makers around the NFL spoke yesterday, I think 20 in all, including Rex Ryan. The Steelers talked, I think right now, or it might have just happened, the GM from the Texans talked. Yep. A lot about Bill O'Brien.
The Seahawks GM, John Schneider.
So there's so much going on. Check out Patriots.com.
Billy O'Brien.
Yeah, at some point during the show, either Paul or Andy or both will call in, kind of give us their firsthand take of what's going on, who they're looking at, who they've been impressed with so far. I hear Mariota just stole the show. I heard he was as impressive, if not more impressive, than Russell Wilson.
He went today.
Yeah.
This morning.
Russell Wilson made such a great impression at the combine, and I hear Mariota was just as good. So, so much stuff going on. It really has become, a media event with all the access they give you to these GMs. Stuff you don't really get during the regular season.
Oh God.
And it's great because they're not answering questions just from their local media.
It's everybody. Yeah, everybody's
right
there.
Yeah, so, it might be frustrating for them that they have to answer questions that they think they've answered before or people should know, but it's good for fans around the NFL. And so a lot of notes yesterday from these people with a Patriots slant. So check it out. Eric's got his positional groupings that, reviews that he's been doing. The guys up in the web, in the digital office, posted the first of the mock drafts around the league.
Whose was it?
A bunch of guys.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. So, Kuiper and, McShay.
Who do they have us taking? That's all we care about,
I don't know.
Right?
I don't know. But I haven't really looked closely. I just noticed that they posted it yesterday. So
they have us taking someone that neither of us has ever heard of.
Probably. And it's going to change. But just so much stuff going on at Patriots.com. Check it out. And, of course, this show for the next 2 hours, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. So what do you got going on, Eric?
Our dream is dead, Fred. It seems like.
Yeah.
It seems like. Our dream is dead.
Yeah, they heard us talking about Larry Fitzgerald on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And no sooner did we get off the show that they rushed to the bargaining table and
got a 2-year
started
deal.
Talking a deal with Larry Fitzgerald. And I guess it's something about $11 million a year, something like
is
that.
I didn't see the numbers exactly, but I thought it was a two-year pact, right?
Yeah.
Any part of you at all that hopes or thinks that this could be a way for them to set up a possible trade of Fitzgerald?
Possibly, yeah. I mean,
to make it more palatable for another team?
Make it more palatable and to get something, because other than that, it would be they'd have to just cut him, right? They wouldn't have gotten anything. And another team, because the team wasn't going to sign him to the contract that they
right.
You know, if the Cardinals weren't willing to do it,
you're right.
Neither was some other team. And if they waited, then they'd eventually have to cut him or they'd be liable for that money. So, yeah, it could be a sign and trade, but I kind of feel it wasn't.
Not, yeah.
Yeah. I kind of feel it wasn't.
He seems like he's been happy there.
Yeah, yeah.
But he hasn't been a guy who's, like, been demanding to be let go or traded.
Well, maybe
or
Peyton
traded
Manning said,
or
you have to sign him or I'm not coming. So.
Oh.
No. And then, of course, you know, the Deflategate continues.
This is so out of hand.
All the stuff that came out yesterday was ridiculous and was made even more ridiculous once Adam Schefter got his paws on it and cleared up some things about the guy from the Patriots who tried to introduce the ball into the game and all that stuff. But now it turns out it was a league employee that was in charge of those balls that handed the ball to the Patriots employee who then handed it to the ref. So he's kind of exonerated right now. But it just shows how messed up this whole thing is.
Well, and then there's the other angle you didn't mention, the guy from the league who supposedly sold the ball.
Right.
One of the balls and got fired for it.
I mean, and what's really crazy is they knew this guy was up to shenanigans, yet they let him work the AFC Championship game. What?
The whole thing is just
it's crazy.
It's like a ridiculous plot to a television show.
Yeah,
that you'd be like, oh, there, come on, you know. It's just getting so out of hand.
And this
something wrong with my headphones.
And the person from Outside the Lines, Kelly Nackey, who did this, you know, investigative journalism. It's like you listen to it and it's like she's, you know, uncovering weapons of mass destruction in Iraq or something. But, you know, it turns out that her husband works for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's like their vice president of fan engagement.
Okay.
And before that, spent 4 years working for the Meadowlands Corporation that was in charge of the stadium that the Jets and the Giants play in.
Really?
And passed his bar in New York. So he's from New York. I'm not saying he's a Jets or Giants fan anymore. Because
necessarily,
Working for the Jaguars. He better be a Jaguars fan. But he does have those New York roots.
Hmm.
You know, so.
So was he around during 07?
Well, when did they open up the Meadowlands?
That was after that. That was like.
But I'm sure there were like a couple years before that they
10,
formed this
like
corporation to manage the oversight. So I'm sure like before they opened, he was there for 2 or 3 years before working on, you know, the Meadowlands opening.
Right, and maybe he worked for the Meadowlands complex before it became the new Meadowlands.
Right.
The MetLife Stadium that we had.
That's right. So
maybe. I don't know.
I'm just saying, you know, I just think it's interesting that, this person that works for ESPN and does investigative journalism is married to someone who works for an NFL team. You know, somebody might want to look into that. I don't know.
Maybe there's an Outside the Lines coming up. Who knows?
It's just absolutely stupid.
It's such a joke at this point.
At this point, call the fight. End it.
Yeah.
You know, it's the fourth inning Little League rules.
Yeah.
You know.
Mercy rule.
Goodell needs to step in and just say, all right, that's it. This is enough. I don't care who Wells hasn't talked to so far. This is all messed up.
He doesn't seem to be thinking along those lines, though, Fred.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he wants to let the investigation run its course.
Yeah,
I get that.
But
this is ridiculous. He has no control over his office. People are just saying things, you know, for whatever reason. And, you know, again, I never was upset with Bob Kravitz for writing what he did. He needs to write.
He's a journalist.
He
got his story.
I'm not upset at Mortensen for doing what he did, even though he may not have asked the right questions. But you know, he's just writing from a source. What I am most upset is these leaks that have come from the league office, and it's very clear the nature of the leaks is just to set up the Patriots because it's always incomplete information. and the latest one just, you know, highlights that undeniably, the fact that, you know, the report that Kelly Nacki came out said that a Patriots employee was trying to introduce this illegal, you know, non-K-ball into the game. But while that was true in its essence, it wasn't true in its, you know, in being complete. It's not the
complete
story.
Right.
So somebody, and I'm not sure Kelly Nacki would know to ask, well, did somebody hand him the ball? You know, because I don't know if she would know to ask that.
Right,
so I
exactly.
really can't blame her that much. But whoever's leaking it, I fully blame and obviously did it to, you know, put the heat on the Patriots.
But
because
also,
that person probably knew what was going on. And certainly, you know, this whole thing with the guy selling the balls and Kensel, that was known. That was known. Why didn't that get leaked out? Because that's favorable to the Patriots. You know, it's just this is nonsense.
Also, the Kelly Nacki report about the K-ball, that wasn't one of the 11 or of the 12 footballs in question.
No, this is a whole different story.
This is a completely different story.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just taken on such ridiculous proportions.
And I just heard just today it came out that this part of the story might have come to light because Vinatieri noticed that the original K-ball was missing and said something that, you know, what happened to K-ball number one? And then that kind of – then they started to inquire about that. And the guy who stole the ball saw that there was some kind of ruckus going on and put the ball back into play. So now the Patriots employee is walking around with two balls. And, you know, one's marked, one's not. One thing I do know is that in the NFL, there's a lot of – dark money that gets exchanged. There's a lot of people making money under the table off things, whether it's, you know, locker room guys getting tipped by players to do, you know, get my cleats just right or whatever, or guys that work just on game day who have credentials to the stadium, have more access than me and you, and we're full-time employees,
right, yeah.
And they're walking around this place like they own it. And I don't know who hires them, whether it's the Patriots or the NFL, but, you know, I don't know who's overseeing them, but certainly they don't take any orders from the people we take orders from.
Right.
Because they act like they're our boss sometimes. You know? Like they own the place. And game day management has to get – somebody has to just sit down, take their time, and review everything that goes on game day. And even from – you know, I don't want to bore people, but there's this thing called frequency control.
Right, the game day coordinators.
Yeah, so the game day coordinators come in, every team has one, and works on game day to make sure that there's no interfering frequencies, that someone's not trying to send out any radio signals that would interfere with, you know, the headsets or anything.
Everybody, like every broadcaster and every sideline that is using a broadcast equipment has to have its own frequency channel so that it's not interfering with anybody else's.
And now that's
that's a major thing to deal with.
It's a big thing, and it's made even more complicated these days as teams have introduced Wi-Fi throughout the stadium.
Right.
Those are radio signals. Now they're supposed to be on their own frequency, but I remember a couple years ago, the NFL didn't tell anybody. They set something up in our press box, and all of a sudden it was interfering with our Wi-Fi. And we had to send somebody up there and ask them what they were doing. And, you know, they shut it off. They only needed it for the beginning of the game, and then they were able to shut it off. But if we hadn't
– that was the day where you were running around crazy,
one
like
of
the pregame.
Yeah, you know, usually I'm doing that. But
for different reasons,
yeah. But, you know, even that, you know, there is one guy that's supposed to be in charge of it, but it's hard to do.
Yeah.
We were the ones that discovered it and had to go to the NFL and say, hey, what are you doing with this frequency? It's interfering with our Wi-Fi. It's nuts. Game day has to – somebody needs to get control of this.
Yeah.
Thing, you know?
Yeah. And the issue with the footballs, too, we've talked about it in the last few weeks. These specifications that they came up with are 85 years old.
Right.
When the football, as we've mentioned, looked more like a rugby ball than it does the ball that we're used to seeing.
They need to test. The processing for leather was different. The bladder was
completely
different. The sewing was different. The laces were different.
So can we come up with, you know, updated standards maybe
that have
maybe a different range or who knows? But they need to look at the way the football is now. It's not the same ball that was used.
But
back
I also
then.
Think the real point is it doesn't make that much of a difference. It really doesn't.
Probably
That's why
not.
They haven't looked at it.
Probably not. And Goodell admitted that in Super Bowl week at his press conference when he said, you know, whether or not there was an advantage gained isn't the point. And I understand that point. That's true. That's if there true. Are rules, you should abide by the rules. But the other thing is, too, if, you know, there's a rule that, you know, you shouldn't park in a certain lot on game day. Okay. I mean, how much of an – if somebody parks in the wrong lot on game day, how much of an investigation are you going to go through for that? Different rules have different weights assigned to them. There's some are more important than others. You know, how important is this rule about the footballs and, right. and their PSI?
Right. Look, I happen to think that a ref should be able to just give it the thumb test and say it's okay. I think if it feels good, it's good.
Yeah.
You know, but – anyway, I know a lot of people don't want us talking about this. We have to address it, but we're going to get to a lot of emails. A lot of them are combine and draft related, so we'll get to that as well. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Paul and or Andy will call in a little later from Indy, give us their update on the scene, so we'll look forward to that. But let's get right to the phones. In the meantime, Noel's in Denver. Hey, Noel.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
How you doing?
Well, it's been so hard to get to you guys with everything going on, the Super Bowl victory and all that.
It's all good.
Looks like you're going to come to Denver this year again.
Is that right?
Yeah, we go to Denver
next year. We're on the schedule? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that'd be interesting what date that is. Hey, I have a couple of quick thoughts, and I'll listen to what you have to say, guys. I hope you had a having a great year, and I hope the snow's getting less over there.
Not yet.
We're supposed to get snow.
Maybe on Sunday. It's supposed to rain and be in the 40s
right.
on Sunday.
It's going
to
be a mess, though.
But then we're going to get a snowstorm on Wednesday.
Oh, is that right?
Next week.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. My whole family lives in Charlton. They can't even find their garages.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Hey, you know, I know it would be kind of unfair if we had a J.J. Watt or DeMarcus Murray at running back, and I don't think we're – personally, I just don't see us getting a running back in the draft with the way we are stacked right now. I don't know about you. I'd like to get your thoughts on that. And I'd like to also get your thoughts on what do you think would be the number one priority in the draft after we sign Revis? And I look at a number for him as being about $15 million a year for 4 years with $40 million guaranteed. Do you think that might be
a
number to keep him?
Yeah, he's going to want to go north of that. I think at the minimum, I think he's going to want to get 16.
Really?
Maybe 17 a year, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that.
Well, that wouldn't be bad either, I guess. I would do 16 or 17, wouldn't you?
Listen, I would too. I mean, where better are you going to spend this money? You know,
it's true.
Yeah, you can split it up and get a few other players, but really,
you've got
the
best cornerback in football.
Exactly.
Don't let him go.
I mean, I just pray that they get this done. I really do. I'm not saying that they can't be a contender without Darrelle Revis. Obviously, they would do other things, but they're just not going to get anyone better. And it was just such a load off my mind knowing he was out there. I can only imagine the load off Matt Patricia's mind knowing that he had somebody like Revis out there.
Yeah. You know? And, you know, the clock is a little bit ticking with that.
Hey, one more thing.
Yeah. You know, they want to get that done sooner rather than later.
Right.
But I haven't heard anything.
I hope they get it done sooner.
I know, but I haven't. The problem is I haven't heard any sort of rumors.
That might be good. You know, if you heard some, leaks from his agent or whatever, that would maybe a bad
like
sign.
Like discontent?
Trying to put pressure on the Patriots. You don't want to hear that. The fact that they're quiet means that maybe they're getting, down
they're getting
to business.
Stuff done? Yeah, all right, maybe.
You know?
Hey, one last thing, guys, and I know this Deflategate thing is just atrocious. It's ludicrous. You can't put a word on it. And journalism should be journalism. The news media is gone. And that's like the Inquirer magazine. And this is just going to come out as a big mistake by the NFL. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I just think somebody should put this to bed real fast.
I said that at the beginning of the show. I think Roger Goodell should call the fight. I mean, it's getting ridiculous. It's over. No one's going to find anything because really nothing wrong was done except for this NFL employee who was selling footballs, but that had nothing to do with the Patriots. He needs to call the fight. End this thing. It just ended.
Is Eric there? Is Eric there with you?
What's that?
Yeah, I've been answering questions
Eric
for
here?
You.
Yeah, Eric's here.
Call D-Mac on his Red Sox tattoo, will you?
Call who?
Call D-Mac out of Big Allen D-Mac.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Next time you talk to him, don't forget to call him on his Red Sox tattoo.
Okay, we'll do.
All right. Thanks, guys. I love your show, and I listen to it often. I just haven't had a chance to get through.
All right.
Thanks, Noel.
The other question Noel had was about running back. You know, picking at the bottom of each round, I wouldn't rule anything out. If a player is available that they really love, they'll take him. But I see them, you know, I see them probably taking a running back, but not until like the third or fourth round at the earliest, probably.
Yeah. I would not bet too heavily on a running back in the first round.
Yeah. No, but I just think, you know, if Todd Gurley drops to them for some crazy reason, maybe
and
they
he might.
Go,
and he
you
might.
Know, you, know.
You know, the way running backs have been taken lately. Over, you know, healthy running backs have fallen, and this is a guy coming off a serious knee injury. He might be available, but they might be able to get him in the second round.
Right. So, I don't know. But I don't see – I see them coming away in the draft with a running back somewhere. Somewhere. You know, just a camp body. Just somebody who, you know, they really
like. Well, I don't want to draft camp bodies.
Well, somebody that's, you know –
I want to draft somebody who might be able to contribute.
Sixth and seventh rounders are camp bodies in my, you know. A lot of times guys that are signed right away as undrafted free agents on that day right after the draft, they actually end up making more money than
if they
a
were
sixth
a draft
seventh
pick.
Rounder.
Right.
You know? So, Justin's in Virginia. Hey, Justin.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Personally, I think this is going to be a really good draft for us. I've been one of the people to critique Bill's drafting, but there's a lot of really good Florida guys coming out, and there's going to be a lot of good defensive tackles at our specific spot, and I think this is going to be a really, really good draft for us.
Well, it's interesting because Andy was writing – it might have been Andy. I forget which one, but Andy or Paul, but they were writing about that FSU connection last year. Obviously, the Patriots drafted Stork out of FSU.
Yeah, and there's someone from that same old line, too.
Yeah, and I guess there's three linemen from FSU coming out, and the Patriots have Dante Scarnecchia there working for them as a consultant. So don't be surprised if, you know, another Seminole ends up on the Patriots.
It worked out great with Stork.
Yeah.
And if they can get that kind of return on their investment with a guard or two,
yep.
That'd be great.
Yep.
Something interesting I was kind of wondering, do you think with the pass rush, maybe Bill kind of thinks of it the same way he thinks of the running position, that it's not exactly a sexy position of ours, but he just kind of is going with what it is? You know what I mean?
I think he – I hear what you're saying, but I can't believe any coach in his right mind wouldn't love a great pass rusher.
Yeah.
I think, though, that Bill is very particular. I think that he thinks that only certain guys can do what we're all envisioning, and he's not going to waste a pick on a guy who isn't like that. And you know, and I'm talking about a guy who does one thing well, and that's rush the passer. And, you know, he'd rather have guys that are more versatile, that he can then scheme more on defense, and, you know, doesn't have a wasted player who's only good at one thing. But, you know, that said, if he could get that one guy that's great at it, he'd take it.
Yeah.
But those guys aren't usually available when you're picking at the end of the first round.
Darrell Revis is good at one thing.
Right, but he was drafted fifth overall, I think, in the year
Revis?
He was drafted.
Yeah,
wasn't he a fifth overall?
He was pretty high, yeah.
He was very high. And Patriots usually aren't in that spot. And the price to move up from where they are is really prohibitive.
Yeah, I don't.
So he, you know,
I don't think they'll move up.
Yeah, I don't. Not to get a blue chipper. I don't think so.
One more thing I want to say. Last year, it seemed like we had several opportunities to get a pass rusher. Free agency, there was a lot of guys.
Mm-hmm.
And also in the draft, I remember there was at least, like, I think Coney Ealy was available at our pick, and he seemed pretty decent. I think another pass rush and defensive end was there. But thank you, guys.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we did. Last year was the year to get a pass rusher if you wanted one.
Yeah, I know he's not a pass rusher, and I know he's not a sack guy, but they used a first-round pick on a defensive lineman who reputation was a disruptor, a guy who gets in the backfield. And then, you know, by doing that would, you know, theoretically, you know, allow guys on the edge like Jones or Ninkovich to get more sacks because he's flushing the guy out of the pocket. Or tackles for loss on running plays.
Well, let's hope going into this season that he's healthy and can have a full off-season program. He can take part in mini camp and OTAs. He can start training camp without any issues, because that's a huge benefit to a player, especially a player like him going into his second year who was really a non-factor.
Yeah, I mean, maybe now, maybe this year, they're looking at it in, you know, again, assuming they sign Revis, that they say, okay, we know what we've got in our secondary. We're very confident back there. Let's get a guy who, you know, he's not Lawrence Taylor and he's not, you know, J.J. Watt, but let's get a guy who is pretty good at rushing the passer, because we have the confidence that we're not going to let things up on the back end. Maybe this year they do go and surprise us and take that guy who, you know, was good at rushing the passer in college, but he's not a blue chipper, but he's available at the end of the first round, you know?
If he can get to the quarterback, that's all I care about.
Yeah, you know?
If you can do it on a consistent basis,
well, but that's the thing, in college, Jake Beckett could get to the quarterback, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard. You gotta,
I know,
you know,
it's true.
You know what I'm saying? And he can't get on the
field.
He can't
get on the field now.
Reginald is in Florida. Hey, Reginald.
How you doing today?
Good. You go by Reggie?
Yeah, how you doing? I'm coming from a corner from Florida right now. I just want to ask a question. Want to know if we will be able, if Justin Tuck from the Oakland Raiders will be available for us. Because I think he'll be a great addition, his leadership skills, you know, and I just think he will be a great addition to the Patriots organization.
Yeah, that's a good name. He was available last year, and we all said, hey,
I would have taken him. Yeah.
He's a versatile lineman, can play inside, can play outside. But I don't know the deal that the Raiders signed him to. I don't even know if he is available.
Yeah, I left my free agent list upstairs, so I can't look.
Well, maybe strippers or somebody can tell us what his deal was with the Raiders. I like Justin
Tuck. I would take him.
And I agree, Reggie. I think he would fit in well with the Patriots.
Yeah, I would definitely take him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he would, you know, he would definitely resurrect his career with us. And also, Hakeem Nicks, maybe, you know, if we could have, take a shot at him also if he's available, because he was on a 1-year contract with the Colts.
Yep. He got hurt.
I don't have that much.
Yeah, I mean, if he's willing to come in at a veteran minimum, I'll bring him in, but I'm not going to extend myself for him.
Yeah.
All right, Reggie, thanks for the call. Let's go to Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. I don't know about you, but I think the longer this goes with these footballs and this issue, the worse it gets. I mean, it's like, what's next?
Yeah, worse, you know? Though, for who? For the league or for the Patriots?
For the league.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like, we have all these wonderful, bright people in these positions, and it's like the game they couldn't shoot straight. You know, and I don't understand this whole process, why it has to be so complicated with the balls on the sideline.
I am completely with you, Christian. It's so ridiculous, and it could be so easy. You have one person or one person for each sideline, whatever, but they're NFL-sanctioned people. They're not an employee of either the home team or the visiting team. They're from the league. They're just like the officials. The officials aren't a member of the Patriots or the Colts or any other team. They're NFL people. They're the ones who should be in charge of the footballs, period. End of story.
But, you know, and really, someone should look at, again, I don't want to harp on this, but these game day employees, they're obviously local people that somebody's hiring, either the home team or the league. But they walk around here with these all-access credentials like they own the place. Something needs to be done there. I don't know if they have to sign a piece of paper under penalty of death if they do wrong things that they're going to get in trouble. But they have too much autonomy on game day here. It's crazy.
I heard you guys talking about that. Yeah, I know that. I didn't know that. I mean, it's so funny. You know, when you watch football and you think you know a lot of stuff, all this behind the scenes stuff. I mean, for Adam Schefter this morning to say that in 25 years he's been covering the league and that he never knew that balls got auctioned for charity. What did that tell you?
Right. Right.
You know. I mean, what does that tell you? As far as the draft goes, I had a question about the defensive end position you guys were talking about. And you guys mentioned that you think that the other day the defensive line and offensive line are really where you would probably focus in the draft, you would think. I think defensive end is extremely important. You don't have anybody outside. You still don't have anybody outside Chandler Jones and Ninkovich. And Ninkovich is getting up there. And is Chandler Jones' contract up next year? Is that a fourth year?
He's a first round pick, so that means they have to decide whether they want to pick up a fifth year option on him.
Oh, that's right. He's like Solder. That's right. Yeah. Fifth year option. Yeah.
So same with Hightower, I believe, because he's a first-round pick.
That's right. They're both the same draft. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
So those guys may be even candidates for potential early.
I would think so. I would think Hightower, I would definitely want to extend and get him wrapped up.
I would, too, because that'd be interesting, because then whatever money you think they would allocate to him would somehow affect Mayo at some point, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Christian. I was wrong about Revis. He was drafted 14 overall, not 5. I don't know why I was thinking 5.
Well, that's still pretty – it's mid-round, yeah, but it's still pretty high.
I must have been thinking there's another corner or that was drafted 5. That's James in the cube that straightened me out there.
The cube. Yeah. I like that.
A lot of emails coming in. Let's see what we got. Steve writes in from Killeen, Texas. First, kudos for holding it down while the other part of the Patriots reporting dominance covers the combine. I'm looking forward to Jackie, Bob, Paul, and Andy Baby Love Hart doing the stellar job they do. Patriots Nation is well aware of all the keys to the quest for 5, which comes down to Revis.
It's Highway to L.
Well, it's thumbs up,
right.
Highway to L.
Yeah.
And we'll have the picture of the guy with 4 rings on his finger thumbing down the road
with the highway
to L. Mm-hmm. That's how it works.
Okay.
Patriots Nation is well aware of all the keys to the quest for 5, which comes down to Revis, lines, and keeping as much as we can from the Super Bowl winning squad as possible. To that end, Bob brought up the point of players with versatility. Who at this point stands out for you in the combine and in free agency that would fit the role of being a Patriots versatile value player? I'm still efforting the week of lunches with Kevin, but as soon as I can make it happen, I will. Keep up the outstanding job. Well, I'm going to have to wait for Paul and Andy to answer that question.
The versatility one?
Who in the combine has that, potential to do the things that Belichick likes, in his position?
Yeah.
The versatile thing. So we're going to have to wait for Paul and Andy, but we'll mark that down. Versatile players to keep our eye on at the combine. So thanks, Steve, for that. Let's go back to the phones. Mike is in New York City. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, I'm trying to keep Patriots Nation alive here in NYC. It's tough, man.
It should be a little easier than it was a couple months ago.
Oh, man, after these big wins, these big playoff wins, I actually lost my job because I was watching the Ravens game, and I had a little too many Narragansett showed up to work after the win.
Oh, and you lost your job?
I got a new job. We won the Super Bowl. It was a great freaking season.
Right.
Good on you, too, for sponsoring the local brew here, the Narragansett. That's a Rhode Island product with a Patriots connection. I'm not sure if you know that.
If you like piss.
Of course. That's why I was ordering them all day long. Every time when I drink there, I'm always trying to pop a little Narragansett. Patty neighbor. So, guys, on a first-time call, I don't really have any questions. I just want to tell you guys that I love listening to your show. It's great to have some other Pats fans. It's great to listen in. And I actually you guys interrupted me. I was watching the tape from Super Bowl 39 back in 2004.
All right.
Just now?
I can't get enough. I can't wait for next season.
Yeah, hey, where in New York do you live?
Right now I'm in the upper west side, but I've lived all around New York City. But I'm actually from Florida, the speed state. Hopefully we can get some of these nice Florida recruits. I heard you guys, one of the callers, talking about.
Do you notice that more people who live in the city are Giants fans or Jets fans?
You know what? My father is a Jets fan. They're kind of a shame. They kind of got the tail between their legs. They got Odell Beckham Jr. for the Giants. So, they're kind of, they're very lackadaisical. They don't care. All they care about is hating on me.
Really? Just because you're a Patriots fan?
Oh, yeah, because I'm in, my Brady jersey, the Patriot hat everywhere I go, so... But there are a couple of us out here. But I just want to thank you guys for doing an outstanding job on the show and always making me laugh and let me know that Patriots Nation is everywhere, man.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks for
appreciate
the call, man.
The kind words. Talking about defensive tackles out of Florida State, the number, well, at least according to our lads, the number 3 ranked tackle is a guy named Eddie Goldman, 6'3", 320.
From FSU?
Yes, from FSU. Maybe he drops. I don't know. But I think they do need to look at that interior line as well the outside. Because
the whole line.
Wolfolk's
right.
Not getting any younger. Alan Branch didn't seem to – I don't know if it was able to or they didn't want him to, but he wasn't out there enough.
I think they need a tackle and an end.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. So Eddie Goldman is the guy, the top-rated FSU tackle. 320, which means – probably more like 340.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all listed at 320, every single one of them.
Yeah, you know? And that's silly because we know for a fact, like, Wilfork's been listed at 325 for years.
Right, right.
We know that. That's not the case.
Brian in Concord, New Hampshire, I'm a podcast guy, but thanks for a great show. What does that mean? I'm a podcast guy, but thanks for a great show. Oh, I see. He doesn't listen live. I get it.
Yeah.
I thought he was saying he's an expert in podcasts, and ours isn't that good. Tuesday, despite missing Paul and Andy, and also, thank you in general. I found you guys 6 years ago while I was in college, and you guys are the best Patriots coverage around. Now on to my question/statement. I keep hearing a lot of people talk about needing pass rushers, and I don't think that's as much of a need as everyone else does. Yeah, our pass rush isn't great, but that's always felt scheme-related to me. We try to contain a lot of quarterbacks like Russell Wilson instead of getting to them. And I always feel like we're more interested in holding gaps and setting edges than breaking the pocket to get to the quarterback. I don't agree with it, but it seems like that's what Belichick likes to do. I feel like the greater needs are O-line and safety. We won in spite of our offensive line this year, and we all seem to forget that. We need a safety, too. Chung, although somewhat adequate, can't be relied on, and it feels like the bigger hole in D than pass rush to me is the safety. Let me know what you guys think.
Well, you're certainly right about the scheme on defense. That's the Belichick scheme. It's two-gap, read and react, for the most part.
Right.
They're not an attacking one-gap type of defense. They almost never have been with Belichick.
Yeah.
So that what you're seeing is right.
Yep.
And I kind of agree with you. I mean, I much prefer the attacking type defenses where you don't wait to see what the other team's going to do. You go in and you mess up their plans.
Yep.
But, you know, part of that is the personnel you have. Do you have guys that can do that? Maybe you do, but I haven't seen them.
Right.
I haven't seen them do it because that's not what they're coached to do.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Again, Easley could be, you know, once if his knees get right and he gets some explosiveness back, maybe he could be that guy that does shoot gaps and disrupts. And I think, you know, early in the season before he got hurt, Jones, they had him read and reacting, and he was just getting pushed around on the edge.
He's not suited for that.
And then when he came back, he was more of a guy that just gets up the field. And, you know, let's hope that now, you know, if he starts out the season that way and stays healthy, maybe, you know, we'll see him making a little bit more play, you know, big plays in that role.
And he's not that bad at it. He's gotten some of his sacks with one-on-one moves against tackles.
Yeah.
So it's something he can do. Yep. He just needs to do it, I think, a little bit better.
Needs to refine a little better. I think he needs to get a little bit more upper body strength, just in my opinion. Brett in Austin. been very
maybe he should get that $1,600 workout thing that you.
Well, that doesn't. That's really cardio. Yeah. Well, I'll have to get the Bowflex dumbbell set. Dumbbell set. That's Brett in Austin. Been very refreshing having just the two of you on the show. Oh, refreshing!
Wow.
You guys are doing a fantastic job. I have one quick question for you guys, and it is a complete shot in the dark. Would you ever see the Patriots trading up in the draft in order to obtain Amari Cooper out of Alabama? Even if he is a developmental player for a few seasons, it would be nice for Garoppolo to have a built-in target when that day comes. Well, there's a couple of things I have issues with there. First of all, you know, there was a stretch in the draft for years where, you know, kind of the thinking was it's really hard to draft a guy high in as a receiver and have him contribute right away. You know, it wasn't working out for many years. But lately, it has been. Mm-hmm. Julio Jones, Sammy Watkins, these are examples of guys that were, you know, highly touted in the draft and then produced right away.
Yep.
So it's a little bit different now, and maybe it's because of the short passing. I don't know. But
Beckham Jr. last year?
Yeah. Guys are producing. So to go up and get a guy like Amari Cooper, again, it's going to be prohibitive. There's no way they're going to be able to do that.
Especially with their philosophy of having a lot of picks. They don't have a lot of picks to begin with.
Yeah.
To move up, they're going to have to get rid of some.
Right. And they don't have a lot of ammunition. It's not like they're going into this year with 12 draft picks.
Yeah.
I think they've got the minimum.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, they've got seven, I think. So, you know, it's not like they've got, you know, a couple first-rounders that they can bundle up or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, they've got the 32nd pick.
I don't see it.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, unless they start mortgaging the future when it comes to the draft. But
I don't see that either.
I don't either. And the other thing he said, you know, keeping him as a developmental player for a few seasons, well, you're not going to draft a guy that high and have him as
a developmental player.
Yeah.
A. Right.
And then it'd be nice for Garoppolo. I'm not sure Garoppolo's ever going to see the field the way Brady's going.
Well,
you know, by the time Brady is ready to go, Garoppolo's contract's going to be over. Pretty much.
Well, he's signed. Brady is signed right now through 17.
Right.
Through the 17 season, which means he has three more seasons.
Right. And so does Garoppolo on his first contract. He was a second round pick.
Right.
He's got a 4-year contract.
Exactly.
So they're going to come to the end.
Yeah.
At the same time. So, yeah. Oh, boy. But, yeah.
You're not going to look for, not going to trade up in the first round to get a developmental wide receiver.
Yeah. Amari Cooper on most people's list is the number one wide receiver. If not, if he's not number one, he's number two. And again, going back to now the new thinking with wide receivers in the first round, you can get them and have them produce right away. And so I think teams will take these guys high. They won't let them drop.
Also, it's not a pressing need.
It isn't. They were, you know, one or two in scoring in the league. You know, so they know how to score points.
Would I love to have a guy like that? Sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think they need to move up to do that.
If you told me you have the choice to get the blue chip best receiver in the draft or shore up your offensive line so, you know, you can go into pretty much every game knowing Brady's going to have time, I would take the latter.
I would take the offensive line.
Because you give Brady time. I don't care who's out there running routes. He's going to find him.
It's not a.
But if he doesn't have time, I don't care if you have Sammy Watkins or Julio Jones or Dez Bryant. He's going to be in trouble. You're not going to be able to take advantage of the receiver anyway if he's on his back. So, number one, you know, make that offensive line as good as it can be.
Yeah, I'm completely with you.
Eldridge is in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
He'll disagree.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
He wants the wide receiver.
You want Amari Cooper?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. All right.
Brady, for once, I'm thinking like you, man. I'd rather have Brady standing up straight throwing. But I got a couple questions like last time. Well, I was saying about the cap hit. You know, I know we got a lot of people on the contract, a lot of people coming up. But not only just Vance and Mayo, couldn't it be worth people like Amendola and plus Arrington and some more high players that they paid as either third string at best or third or fourth option at best? You know what I mean? Like paying $15 million. Plan to be the third corner, but it's really not the third corner.
Yeah, I know, but now you look at Arrington's contract, and it's really not that bad. You know, now that it's been prorated and it's getting into the latter stages, what does he count, like $4 or $5 million against the cap next year or something like that? So, I mean, he's a guy who knows the system. Paul mentioned, you know, what he did to T.Y. Hilton last year. He shut him down in two games. Now there's other guys he has trouble with, but
yeah, a lot.
but I think for the money you're actually, you know, really paying him now, it's really not that bad. And you know, who are you going to get better at that money?
Well, I would think trying to save it and trying to find further different players. Help out with Reese's or help out with McCourty or somebody else, like, because that means you're cutting back a little bit. Because to me, man, be honest with your friend. He ain't produced good enough, man, for $16 million to me.
Well, okay, so here's where I'll work with you here. You know, so let's look at cornerbacks coming out of the draft, all right? You got that guy, Ekpre Olomu, out of Oregon, who's the number one rated. But let's just say somebody like, you know, Marcus Peters drops down, you know, to the first, you know, the 32nd. I could see the Patriots taking a corner, a good corner in the first round, even though they have Browner and Revis, because, you know, remember going into last year, Dennard was part of the mix of that depth, and who knows where he's at right now. So that guy that we thought was going to be like the number three corner, he's gone.
Yeah.
So maybe they pick a corner, you know, knowing he's going to be the number three, and he'll develop under one of the greatest corners ever. So I could see them taking a corner in the first round.
I like the way you're thinking about it. It just my trepidation is that when they've drafted corners high, it hasn't really worked out. Now, we said that about tight ends for a while too, until they took Gronkowski.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if there's any corners from Rutgers of it.
They won't be listed, Fred. Yeah. There'll be guys we've never heard of.
Yeah, right.
One more question. I know Andy kept mentioning that Beckham guy, whoever was out of Missouri.
Yeah, Doriel Green Beckham.
Yeah, even though he's on in the trouble, he's going to be a high on everybody else to draft for it because of his size and his speed and what he can be. You know, so I don't think it's another chance. We get him if he falls to the fourth round, and if Bill get him then, you know, that's what I think.
I'm not.
Eldridge, while I have you on the phone, what do you think of Sammy Coates out of Auburn?
Sammy Coates. I haven't seen much.
He's a guy who, you know, he runs like a 4.4, 6.2 out of Auburn, and he's a guy who is a straight-out guy that supposedly his reputation is he takes the top off the defense, and that's what he does. He would be a guy, you know, like a Brian Timms, but, you know, with a little bit bigger, a little bit more upside probably.
Okay, you know? Is that guy that won number one for Auburn?
No. Yeah, he's from Auburn.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, he might be a guy that they might be able to. Well, I don't know if he'll last to the end of the second round, but he certainly might be available
time between
at the end
now
of the first.
And now and April, April 30th.
That's
so
true.
Yeah, maybe so.
All right,
I still hope to get a tackle first though.
A defensive tackle?
No, sir. Offense.
We
don't need an offensive tackle.
I wouldn't take him in the first round.
No.
All right. Thanks, Eldridge.
Hey, Fred, the other day, was it Tuesday we were talking about the last time there was a player coach in
right.
the NFL?
If there ever was one, yeah.
The Arizona Cardinals, again, making news this week. Larry Foote, linebacker,
is
going to join their staff but hasn't shut the door on playing still.
Yeah.
So the Cardinals have been listening to the show this week. Clearly.
Yeah.
They get the Fitzgerald deal done. Now they're getting a player-coach possibility here.
So is Larry Foote, he's a free agent?
If he joined their coach, well,
so
I don't know. I left my list upstairs. I don't have my free agent list right now.
What the hell are you doing?
I forgot it.
So my question is, if a guy's a free agent and you put him on your staff, is he still a player free agent? In other words, could a team still come knocking on his door?
Yeah.
Or is that a kind of shady way to protect a guy? I think he would have to, until he actually officially retires, I think any team should be able to.
Or he's under contract.
As a player.
Or he's under contract.
Obviously, if he's under contract, then that's tampering. But that's an interesting one. I heard about that they were thinking of adding him to the staff, but he wasn't ruling out playing. Kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, okay. I just read this one from Brett. Let's go. My mouse is kind of acting up here. Melvin in Tennessee. Hey, Melvin.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Good.
I got two quick questions, really. I was just kind of thinking about the season and analyzing the season somewhat. I thought it was funny that I think about it that, you know, Tom Brady had some really, really, really bad interceptions this year. I think that's funny. Of course, we won the Super Bowl, and who cares? But I would think that throughout the years, we've seen a lot of the tip interceptions and just, you know, the funny interceptions. But a lot of those interceptions this year were just bad. He just threw it right to the guy. And if you think about that, even in the Super Bowl with that. So I'm just playing a little game here. Let's say that if they did, if we did end up losing, let's say by 3 points, how would that affect really Brady with the interceptions and with not really his legacy, but how he played this season? Because if you even think back to the Kansas City game, it always seems like he threw one interception just up there for them to have. Like one time.
And in the Colts
consistently.
Game. Yep.
Right.
Yeah. I
Chargers.
I mean, it's such a moot point right now. I mean, who cares?
Right.
Whether
it,
or not.
It doesn't matter now.
But you're right. I mean, your point is accurate. He did throw some. He was forcing throws. That's why he got picked
a lot. He was forcing throws a lot of times under pressure. And he put those up. And, you know, he knew they were stupid throws.
I just think it was a lot of stupid throws. I just felt like it was a lot of more this year. Than any of the other years, I feel like he consistently made a wow. That was a bad throw. It was a wow. That was a bad interception. I just thought that was really funny. Of course, it doesn't matter because we won.
Yeah.
But I was still thinking about this. I never noticed him making that many bad, consistent, you know, what are you doing throws before and throughout his career, obviously. But you know, he won it that year, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
But one more thing, and then I'll let you all go. Talk about all the receivers. Like I said, I'm not really into the receivers that much, but if let's say that we did have this type of receiver that everybody wants to throw in, I mean, I'm really cool with LaFell, to be honest. I mean, how would that affect him and what he's his playing time and stuff like that? Even if you did get a receiver like that, because I feel like it took us so long to find a really consistent receiver, a free agent receiver that actually worked for us.
I mean, when you say a receiver like that, you're talking about a speedster that can stretch the field, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that would hurt LaFell, because LaFell isn't that type of player. He's like a mid-range player. They used him really effectively on first down for, you know, a mid-range intermediary type of pass, you know, 10 yards or 7, 8 yards, just to get the drive going. And I don't think he's got a lot of speed. So I don't think that... You know, I think a speedster would be complementary to what they have. Edelman, Amendola, yeah. LaFell, and then you got the speed guy. I think that would be complementary.
Yeah, and if you when they go three receiver sets now, it's usually LaFell, Edelman, Amendola.
Right.
You substitute Amendola.
Right.
I would think, and you put the speedster guy in there.
Yeah.
Because the other two guys are your top two wide receivers. So I don't think it would affect LaFell much at all.
Okay, well, one more thing, and I promise you I'll shut up. But wouldn't you be able to predict that? Because you were able to predict what those people are. I mean, that would make them really kind of like with Blunt and Breen or something like that. Like when Tim's get in, you know he's going to probably run deep. So I wish that, I don't know. It's just, it's hard.
Yeah, but when Gronkowski's in the game and you throw the ball to him, you can predict that they're going to make the catch.
And Melvin, I hear what you're saying, even if they were predictable, like they still did pretty good. I mean, again, they're not having any problem scoring points.
And when you have
a
dominant player, if he's that dominant, like Gronkowski, it doesn't matter if you know the ball's going to him. He's still going to make the catch.
Listen, I'm not complacent. If there's a way to upgrade the offense, let's do it. But I don't think that it's this urgent need. I would more focus on the offensive line if that's the choice. Right now, live from the Combine, Paul Perillo calling in. Paul, what's going on?
Hi, boys.
What's up, Paul Perillo?
How the Diet Miller's going?
I don't know when the next time we're going to get a chance to have one of those.
Oh, God.
Oh, come on. You're going to be going to Elmo soon enough.
Oh, jeez. Woe is me. No, I hear it's like -2 out there. It's really
cold. In all seriousness, it's extremely cold.
We were going to go drink.
Right.
Yeah. We can't drink when it's that cold.
Have you gone to St. Elmo's yet or not?
St. Elmo's is tonight.
Oh, okay.
That's on tap for tonight. I can't believe that we left the place and found a place that was even colder. We left that because it was as miserable a 10-minute walk as you could possibly make today.
Jeez.
Well, don't worry, Paul. It snowed twice more since you guys left.
Yeah, I heard we got a little snow last night.
Yeah, yeah,
it's a little snow here, but not anywhere near like what we have at home. So.
All right, so I was telling everyone how great the content is on Patriots.com. They want to check it out. You guys have been doing a great job, first and foremost. But so far, what has struck you? Any guys with good or bad comportment that you want to talk about? Who's caught your eye?
Yeah, who's looked at us the wrong way?
What's funny is we haven't really had a chance. It seems like the player side of it has been really slow to get started. Yesterday, we had offensive linemen, specialists, and tight ends. I did the tight ends. Andy did the offensive linemen. What stuck out to me was the obvious on Andy's side, that the Florida State kid. And I should probably point out when I'm talking about this that the presence of Dante Scarnecchia here, at the Combine for the Patriots, sat across from him on the plane, you know, flying here. He's obviously watching a lot of the offensive linemen and a lot of those Florida State guys, every one of them, there's four of them that are big-time prospects. And they're all talking about having met with the Patriots and having met with Coach Scar. And just the fact that presence is still there.
That's great.
That evaluation process is still there. And these are all highly thought of players, but some of them with some versatility. I'm not even going to give you the names because I'm going to mix them up. But, you know, one of them started at tackle and moved into play center, you know, in place of Brian Stork. By the way, they all talk about Brian Stork glowingly as well. So those are guys to keep an eye on. Those Florida State guys. I wouldn't be surprised at all if one of those four ends up getting picked by the Patriots. We know the offensive line is a pretty big area of need, especially if Dan Conley ends up leaving as a free agent. They're going to need a guard. So that's an area to keep an eye on. Tight end, not considered to be a great class, but there were some guys I thought on paper. Jesse James is one of them from Penn State, a guy who had a good size, good ability to block and catch the ball. A kid from Ohio State. I would have Howerman. I'm not really exactly sure how to pronounce his name. But he's another guy that, you know, Urban Meyer connection there with Bill. And, of course, it's a Rutgers tight end, so you got to always keep an eye out on Rutgers and tight end, Freddie. What could be better for Bill Belichick?
Right.
Rutgers tight end. I mean, that's just like the epitome of the draft dream.
Paul,
those are the guys I talked to yesterday, and they all came across pretty well, to be honest with you. I didn't have any problem with anybody's comportment.
I had a question for you about Skarnecki. Report was that Belichick gave his assistants the option of not going to the combine because, you know, the Super Bowl took, you know, a lot of time into the offseason.
That is correct. So, not all here. Not all the coaches are here.
Is Googe one of them?
He is there. He is here. Yeah.
Okay, that was going to be my thinking was maybe, okay, if Googe didn't go, maybe they needed Scar to fill in.
I heard Googe was actually doing some of the offensive lineman drills out on the field.
Really?
Yeah, with the group.
Have you heard anything about that?
Is he running those?
I heard he was involved.
You might know more about that than we do because we're not really watching a lot of the TV feed. But he is here. We had a chance to talk to Nick Caserio this morning. Jackie Britton went over and interviewed Nick. And I was over in the player area for a little bit. And so I do know that that Coach Googe is in the house. But I don't believe that all the coaches are. So I do think that Belichick sort of gave some guys the option, and some of the guys are not here. Not exactly sure how that all worked out, who came, who didn't, but I was told that Googe is here.
Hmm.
Actually bumped into old friend Mike Compton over there, Freddie.
Oh, Mike Compton. Sure.
Mike Compton from back in the day. He's,
sure.
I guess, part of the West Virginia coaching staff.
Okay.
There's a lot of activity going on, but the players have been slow. Today, wide receivers, running backs are expected, and there have been two or three wide receivers that have come out, not one running back yet. So not a ton beyond what we did yesterday to fill you in on.
I'm wondering, though, if there's anything to read into in the fact that both Googe and Scar are at the combine and whether or not that speaks to where they might be thinking their priority is.
Yeah.
In terms of who they
well,
they're looking
there's
for.
There's no question that offensive line is going to be an area that they're looking heavily at. Now, I don't know, how much they'll like everybody, and, maybe they won't think that this class, meets up with their needs. You never know with those kinds of things. But with Scar, that they have an evaluator that they really trust and they really respect. And with Googe, that, they're probably looking at it as, he's the guy now that's going to be coaching them, so we need to have him part of the process as well.
Dante's
been around so much.
Well, I was just going to say, Paul, with Dante and his experience, and he was the assistant head coach while he was here too, I could see him evaluating defensive tackles as well. I mean, when you're an offensive line coach, in practice you're dealing with a lot of the defensive line as well because they're going up again. And I could see him, Belichick giving him, the responsibility to look at some of these D-line guys and evaluating them as well.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put anything past him. How respected and how much Bill respects him.
Yeah,
specifically. But my guess is these Florida State guys are going to be on Scar's list, and it's going to be interesting to see, 2 months from now when this all unfolds, how it goes, and if we start hearing stories about pro days and the Patriots on site at pro days, if Dante is making some of those trips.
Right.
Remember last year that he did.
Yeah.
He was involved in some of that process. And we know that he has continued to say that he's going to be around.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you have offensive line coach emeritus, you have special teams coach emeritus,
yeah.
Scott O'Brien.
Is he there, by the way?
By the way. Yes, he's here.
Okay. Wow.
I bumped into him as well. So it's an interesting dynamic that the Patriots coaching staff has. I don't know what it all means. I just find it interesting.
It's funny. All these guys retire, and then they stay in the building, and they keep working.
I'm gonna start doing that, Fred. I'm gonna retire. I'm gonna skip the work part, but you're gonna keep paying me.
Okay.
I thought you've been doing that for the last 10 years.
Right.
Oh.
Correct. I learned it from Kevin Manning.
All right, Paul. Well, listen. We'll look forward to you and Andy and Jackie and Bob's stuff later today and throughout the rest of the week.
And enjoy Elmo's tonight.
Jackie's interview with Nick probably be posted. I'm going to write something up on that as well.
So I'm going to do it again.
I also wanted to let Freddie, that even though we're out of market now, Bill O'Brien, you know, I bumped into Billy O before he did his podium press conference.
Yeah.
And he let us know that he gets Comcast Sportsnet New England in Houston.
Ah.
And he watches the show.
Really?
Oh, wow. I thought we were blacked out in, outside
well,
of New
he
England.
He said that he's seen the show. And then he said, now, maybe he's mixing up some different shows, but he said, I've seen the show and I love it. Now, he did say that he saw me with Felger.
Yeah.
He thinks it's awesome. So maybe that's the only one that he's talking about.
Yeah, he's probably talking about that other show, right?
Yeah, maybe it's just that he's watching the, you know, the radio show on TV with Felger and I. But
give me a break.
Or maybe he goes to Patriots.com and watches it there. I don't know.
Well, I just looked at him and said, you're out of market now. You really can't be watching that stuff. That guy hears everything, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
But it was fun bumping into him. And, you know, so far, so good. It's pretty cold, though. I got to say that.
Hey, you've got a light at the end of the tunnel, Paul.
Oh,
you've got Elmo tonight.
Poor Paul.
Well, I didn't say anything about Paul. The poor man just said it's pretty cold. It's cold.
Yeah, come back here and help me shovel.
Okay, well, you don't shovel anyway. You just get plows.
That's not true. I do all the walks in the deck.
Wow, we haven't had any arguments in a show and a half. Paul calls, they start arguing.
Yeah, and we've been getting tweets about how boring this is.
All right, time to go, Paul. I'll see you all later. Right. Go back to work.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Paul Perillo live from Indy. So I might have to go someday.
To the combine?
It sounds like they're having such a good time.
It's they're not.
I know.
Trust me.
I thought we were
going to
do radio from there this year, Fred.
What's that?
Shush.
We were thinking of it, but it's.
It's not worth it.
Yeah, it's not worth it. I don't think our listeners are, you know, too jacked up to talk to like guys from the Panthers.
Yeah.
You know.
It's valuable in certain respects, but we don't need the entire crew to be there to do it because. I mean, honestly, and I was talking to Rook about this just before Rook is in the house today. Of all these guys that we study, there's only a handful of them that are actually going to mean anything to us.
Right. Yeah.
Come April and May. So, I mean, we're doing a lot of work because we need to know who these guys are and what they can do.
I think fans want to do it. We're doing it for the fans.
Well, I know. But, I mean, the bottom line is there's so much work at the combine for so little reward.
Yeah.
There's only a few of these guys that are actually going to mean anything to us.
But, you know, if you just happen to do the work on that one guy, then you're way ahead of the crowd. You put in the work on that one guy that the Patriots ended up plucking that no one thought they would, and now you're the expert. Lewis writes in, first-time emailer from Durham, UK. Really like the linebacker group for the start of next season if Mayo stays. Hightower and Collins really improved this season. The issue was most of the time there was only two linebackers on the field because we run a lot of nickel packages. I feel like moving to more of a 3-4 like we use sporadically through the season would allow Hightower to be at his best rushing the quarterback. I also think Easley could be a better player in a 3-4. He's not the type of player to get a lot of sacks, but I think he could be effective at creating gaps for the linebackers behind. I love the podcast. Keep it up. P.S. Everyone should be hoping to get the Steelers opening week. They're a good team, but Le'Veon Bell is going to be suspended for at least the first game, so it would be the best to get them out of the way with. I did hear about that. There's a report that it's likely he's going to miss one or two games to start the season.
Le'Veon Bell?
Yeah. That was that incident that was LeGarrette Blount was involved in. I wonder if he's.
I haven't heard anything about Blount being reprimanded for that at all. By the way, the Steelers are going to play the Vikings in the Hall of Fame game this year.
Oh, okay.
And they usually do that based on who the Hall of Fame inductees are.
Yep.
And with Bettis and the guy from the Viking, the center, I think it was, whose name escapes me.
I don't know.
But that's how they chose that. So just FYI, the Steelers and Vikings are your Hall of Fame game this
year. Marcel's in Sweden. Hey, Marcel.
What up, guys?
Hey.
A long time no see.
Yeah. Or here.
Oh, here. Yeah, exactly. I got a couple things. First off, congratulations on the Super Bowl. I'm still kind of feel surreal.
Yep.
Yeah.
After 10 years of not winning one. I mean, okay. But I got a couple ones. If you would, would you say that guard or defense tackle is most important? I think you could get away with playing a lesser guard, but I think a lot of Brady's interceptions this year has to happen when he can't step in the pocket and he just throws one up there. So
Yeah, I would probably lean toward offensive line as being the more important one. But they're pretty close. I want to address both sides of the football on the lines this year. Pretty high up in the draft and or free agency.
Yeah, thank you. Talk to you later.
All right. Thanks, Nick. Marcel, I'm sorry. Muhammad writes in, and he's calling this breaking news. It's from Jeff Howe. Jeff Howe is running that running back Shane Vereen will likely be heading into free agency. Vereen is hopeful to land a contract worth at least $5 million per season, according to a source.
Yeah.
Now that's obviously a sign of a player who wants to start high with his negotiations, with the realization that the price will drop throughout the back and forth with the suitors. But the desire to get paid means he'll almost certainly hit the open market March 10th for the beginning of free agency. Vereen and Patriots exchanged proposals last summer, according to the source, but they weren't close enough to strike a deal. It's unclear how much, if any, progress they'll have made this week in Indianapolis.
$5 million a year sounds...
Yeah, with everything else they need to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, that sounds a little...
I mean, if he was the only guy that they had to deal with,
overly
okay.
optimistic.
Yeah, but there's some more important things, unfortunately. We all love Shane Vereen, but I think we can get that production somewhere else.
Yeah, I agree.
I do. I'm sorry. Christian writes in, hey, guys, want to know what you think of Dobson's chances next year. Oh. Do you see any scenario where Dobson, with a full season healthy, can take that next step in 2015 and become a good, productive player for the Patriots? Although I'm not expecting it, I could see it happening. I mean, Hightower wasn't a stud in his second year either, and then he takes over the year three jump and becomes a very good linebacker. So can you see Dobson taking a Hightower-like leap in 2015?
I honestly forgot all about him.
Yeah, and here's a guy that, you know, when he was drafted, he was the top of that wide receiver class for the Patriots.
Yeah.
You know, it was Boyce.
Second-round pick.
You know, Boyce, him, and who was the other guy? It was three of them. Anyway, you know, we all thought that he was going to be the guy that would emerge and be the most productive, and he's done nothing.
Yeah, he's of such a forgotten man in my mind. He's kind of been like Dennard.
Yeah.
I don't even really consider him part of the equation anymore.
Right, but
if he does, great, but yeah. I don't have any hopes for him going into this year.
They kept him around. They you know,
well, I mean, he's a second-round pick.
Yeah, they put him on IR. So who knows? You know,
yeah, it would be great if he could do that, but I'm not holding my breath.
Let's take another call. Tyler's in California. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey, I got two questions today. My first one being about Jerod Mayo. What are we going to do with him, including, like, the last two seasons he's been injured the first couple of games? We lose him for the rest of the season, and then he starts out a new season, lose him for the rest. You know what I mean? What are we going to do with him?
Well, the first thing they got to do is try to restructure his contract, because they need that leeway.
They're going
to
sit down with him and say exactly what you just said, Tyler. Look, you played barely half of the last two seasons, if not less, and you know
we were pretty good
without
you.
We just won a Super Bowl. We love you. We think you're a great leader. You're going to help, but you're going to have to come down on your contract.
Right. And I really love the things that, like, he does with the team, his leadership. I mean, his daughter's always around with the teammates, and the teammates really like her. And
yeah, he should put her as part of his contract. I mean, maybe he can get his number back up. She certainly was a big hit in the pro season.
Right. And then my second one being is, I don't know anything about this story, but what is going on with the NFL employee and the Patriots staffer about the football? I'm totally lost.
We all are. I mean, the latest is that this guy McNally from the Patriots was accused of introducing these balls on his own, but it turns out he's given the balls by an NFL employee during the game. So, and then it turns out, I don't know if it was that employee or another employee has been selling footballs on the side. Balls that were targeted for charity, he's been selling them, and that was the case in the AFC Championship game, that he took one of the K-balls, the kicking balls, out of circulation with the intent of hiding it and then selling it. And then, you know, he found out that people were on to him, or there was some, they noticed it missing.
He was
and
fired.
Then, you know, bringing him back. And since then, this guy reportedly has been fired.
Yeah.
So
okay,
it's crazy.
It's a mess.
It's crazy. It just shows that the little control the league has on game day during these games.
Exactly. And my point has been everybody's point that I've ever heard on this show, and I've only been listening to the show, I want to say, for about 2 months, and I enjoy listening to it. You guys have a great show.
All right. Thanks,
everybody's
Tyler.
Saying they need to have the balls controlled by the NFL on game day. They own the balls. It's theirs, not the home team, not the away team. It's the NFL.
Mm-hmm. That's
That's it.
That's what I said earlier.
Right. But, you know, the thing is, it was actually Tom Brady and Peyton Manning a few years ago that petitioned the league to say, hey, let us prepare the balls the way we want. You know, and the league actually now allowed them because of those two quarterbacks. So I think you can still do that. But, for example, wouldn't all the problems we have, you know, in this story have gone away if after, once the referee approves the ball, the teams cannot touch them until game time? Because like apparently the league, the ref says, okay, these are good, and they give them back to the team.
Well, no, they're held until right before the game. The refs have them under their control until right before the game.
What is this about them giving the bags to our guy who went to the bathroom?
I don't know, but once they're
there's
approved,
a hole in this. They need to.
Yeah, once they're
down.
Approved, they're under lock and key.
You sure
the official,
about that?
Yes, because that's in the rule book.
Okay. Well, then where did this guy get the bags of balls to go in the bathroom with?
That might have been right before the game.
Oh, right. Well,
yeah.
My point is they should
right
be
before
on
kickoff.
They should be on the field. You know, when the players come on the field, the ball should already be out there delivered by the league,
I agree.
By somebody that works for a team.
I agree. You completely
know?
Agree.
So that type of speculation goes out the window. That can't happen.
I absolutely agree.
All right. Anyway, all right, we're going to take a break. I know we have more calls and emails coming in. We'll get right at it. Darius from London is the person who bought us lunch.
Thanks,
mate. We appreciate
that,
Darius. And we'll be right back after we eat.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call star NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. We all know Paul Perillo isn't afraid of a microphone or a camera.
Good Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
During the season, Paul can be seen on programs like BFW TV, Patriots All Access, Patriots Today, and Mohegan Sun Sports Tonight. He can also be heard daily on Patriots.com during PFW in Progress, or on 98.5 The Sports Hub during, well, any show that will take him.
I need more airtime. I'm going to make that clear.
And we thought Andy had a big head.
Maybe we'll be Patriots Today's Todd McShay, Mel Kiper, our version.
As long as Paul Perillo is involved in that version, I'm all for it.
Now, back to Paul Perillo and those other guys.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress earlier, we heard from Paul.
Was that Petrone? Wow, that's an old clip.
Yeah. We heard from Paul and Andy. He called in with what he's seen so far. The information's coming fast and furious on Patriots.com. So you definitely want to check out the app or Patriots.com proper and see what they're contributing. It's great stuff.
Patriots.com proper.
Right.
That's the desk
the
site.
The desk site, yeah. But it's great stuff. Fred writes in and clears up the cornerback I was thinking that was drafted fifth overall was Patrick Peterson in 2011. He was drafted fifth overall. I knew there was a top flight corner fifth overall. Darius is the person who bought us lunch.
Yummy. Thanks,
and he
Darius.
Wrote in, looking forward very much to this offseason, mainly because it's going to be fascinating to see how Bill, Robert, Caserio can wheel and deal their way around the cap whilst attempting to keep the nucleus of the team, especially the defense, together. Think about it. Wilfork, Mayo, Revis, and McCurdy could all potentially wind up leaving this offseason. Do you think they sacrifice some guys like Amendola and Connolly, earning more against the cap on offense in an attempt to get these guys signed up and keep the D together? Or is it more likely that at least one of them goes and we have to replace them through free agency or the draft?
I think one of them goes, but
yeah, it's going to be tough to keep everybody that's on the.
They can't get rid of Revis.
Yeah,
they can't do it.
Big shout out to the PFW Elite as well, especially to John Garcia, who has just put out an amazing tribute video on YouTube featuring the likes of Chester, Chris with a TIAN, Ed Wheezy, and of course yours truly. Loving the show as always. Keep up the great work, and most importantly, go Pats. And thanks for the lunch, Darius. That was
thank you very much for the lunch.
We needed that. It's tough.
We were dragging a little bit.
Yeah, we were. Let's see. Brett writes in, and he's a Patriots fan and had a $50 bet with a Seahawks fan. Sent me a picture of how the Seahawks fan paid him. He took the $50 bill and encased it in a jar of honey.
What?
I don't get the significance, though. I don't know, like, why honey, you know?
Is he doing it so that he can't use it?
I don't know. It's kind of crappy, huh?
Yeah, because then you have to put your hand in there, and then the bill is all worthless at that point. That's like just throwing $50 away.
Yeah, so
you didn't get your bet repaid.
No,
I would demand 50 legitimate dollars from this guy.
Right, right. And also, you ruined a perfectly good jar of honey.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And you wasted food, and you threw $50 away.
Right. It's a typical get your money Seahawk back. Fan.
Right.
Typical Seahawk fan. Sour grapes, sweet honey. Vashad from New York is writing in, we are finally Super Bowl champs, and how sweet it is. I started listening to the show right after the Super Bowl 42 loss and haven't missed a show since. You guys are the best and hilarious, especially Fred and Andy. Paul, your hands down give me the best analysis of the four of you. My question for you guys is if you'd rather re-sign Revis and McCourty this year and cut Hightower and Collins when they are to become free agents, or let Revis and McCourty go now and re-sign Hightower and Collins in the following years. Also, I don't know why.
Revis.
That's a false choice, though.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Also, why do you need to find a host to replace Bertrand on the pre- and post-game show? Why not just let Paul or Andy host? They would do just fine. You kind of need somebody because they're kind of scattered.
The show is, I mean, as you can tell, it's just me and Fred. The show is different when it's only two voices because one person is hosting.
Right.
And part of the hosting is you have to screen the emails and you can't really engage in the conversation. That's the host is for to just direct the traffic.
And the other thing they're doing while the show's going on is they're looking at Twitter to see if there's any late breaking news that they need to bring to people. So it's better with someone whose focus is just hosting. And, you know, it's Paul's opportunity to be a kingmaker because everybody that we bring in tends to get, you know, better jobs. So Paul likes that. Well, you know, we'll see. I'm open auditions.
We have any ideas yet?
I got a couple people who have expressed interest. Yeah. So we'll see.
Qualified?
Very qualified. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I've done my research. We'll see. You know, it's not a big rush, but I'd like to get that tied up. You know, so that we can plan and they can plan and get that all taken care of. Marco writes in from Houston. I know many have been asking about drafting a receiver, but is it possible our receiver core is good enough for next year? LaFell had a good season. Is it possible that he has a year two jump in our system and becomes much better? Or is he just what we saw this year, which was pretty good, but not a great receiver?
I think he's what we saw this year at the end of the year.
Yeah, he could be a little bit better. Certainly he could be more consistent throughout the season because he really didn't come on until that fourth game, second half.
And I think he might have been dealing with that toe injury late in the year, which maybe affected him a little bit in the playoffs. But I don't think he's going to get much better, but more consistent.
And Eric, Justin Tuck signed a two-year deal for $11 million, so he probably won't be available.
All right.
And I also saw a report that Reggie Bush might be on the outs in Detroit. Would he be a good fit to replace Vereen? Oh, hell yeah. I mean,
he's older now, but I think he's still got a little something.
Yeah, I think so. He's probably going to want some
money. He'd want some money, though, probably. Yeah, I don't think it would work out.
Let's see. Let's go back to the phones. John is in Houston. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's up, John?
Oh, my question was, I know, you know, we have Tim Wright as a tight end, and I know he was originally supposed to be a wide receiver at Tampa Bay. Is it possible that, you know, the Patriots could convert him back to a wide receiver? You know, he has height and everything.
Yeah, he does, but he's too slow. He's too slow.
He's quick for a tight end, but I don't think he's quite fast enough as a wide receiver.
He's that tweener. That's why they moved him. Right.
Yeah. And they line him up in wide receiver type positions anyway, so it's not like, you know. But I know what you're saying, to like more of a downfield kind of guy. But no, I don't see that.
I think you just work him in more of what he was doing. I think he's a guy that can really improve and make that second year jump within your system.
Yeah.
And produce even more than he did last year. I'm high on Tim Wright.
Yeah, I think I am too, and I hope that he's able to, you know, produce significantly in our system and become a big cog, hopefully, in our next Super Bowl win.
Yep, absolutely. Thumbs up. All right. Thanks, John. Highway to L. Tim in Baltimore, I would like to congratulate Roger Goodell, ESPN, Kelly Nockey, and the rest of you for doing the impossible. Baltimore fans are actually starting to have sympathy for the Patriots. And my question is regarding the bias, real or imagined, that ESPN and certain people in the NFL have against the Patriots. Do you think this bias is market-based, or do you think people really just want to embarrass Tom Brady and Bill Belichick? What I mean by that is, do you think anti-Patriot stories get that much more eyeballs on websites, or do you think people just hate them, or is it a combination of both?
I think it's a combination of
both. Oh, yeah. I mean, Adam Schefter was on with Dennis and Callahan.
Excuse me. You all right there?
Post-lunch. And he was talking about that, and they asked – John Dennis asked him, you know, what he thought about that very subject. And Schefter said, look, you know, how did you guys used to think about the Yankees back in the Yankees' heyday? You know, you hated them. And I think, you know, people feel the same way now about the Patriots.
Yeah, because they're a winning organization.
Yeah, and then you have a guy like Belichick who, you know, he's not the friendliest guy with the media, and, you know, that shouldn't count, but it does. And, you know, a lot of fans don't like that. I'm talking about fans of other teams, you know, get upset the way he comes and refuses to answer questions. You know, well, my coach does it. Why can't yours? And then Tom Brady's so perfect. Not that Brady's ever done anything wrong, but he's so perfect. And he's got the supermodel wife. And you know, I think
he's got it pretty good.
If I was a fan of another team, I probably would hate the Patriots. I probably would. I can understand that, you know. But, you know, this what's going on right now is just, I mean, it's slander and libel. It really is.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's one thing to just, I hate those guys, but it's another to make up, you know, crap.
You almost did it.
Yeah. You know, so this stuff.
Or at least not making it up, but reporting it without all the facts, like you said earlier, and maybe putting it out of context.
Jumping to conclusions and being, you know, just so quick to call the Patriots guilty. This is crazy. It's crazy. And I'll tell you one thing. I do believe 100% that the Patriots will be exonerated in all this stuff after the Wells report comes out.
Yep.
And once that happens, if I was the Patriots, I would go on the offense about Spygate. I would go back and revisit that and get absolutely.
I don't know about that.
Oh, I would
let sleeping dogs lie in that case.
I would go on the offense and I would talk about what Spygate really was and what a mountain out of a molehill they made.
I don't know, but I'd have to disagree with you there.
A certain PR director would probably agree with you, but I'm a little bit more of a loose cannon, and I'm like, you know, while we've got people thinking a certain way, let's take advantage and revisit that and kind of clear that up, because at the end of the day, you know, Paul's right. Even if the Patriots are vindicated in this latest thing, it's not going to change the haters. They're still going to hate the Patriots just as much. They're still going to talk about Spygate.
Oh, of course.
But I would like to just, you know, update that Wikipedia page and, you know, with the truth.
Well, you can do that anytime you want, right?
I know, but you know what I mean. I'm just talking.
I know.
I wouldn't want to
bring that up again.
I would go on the offensive and just show how the league there, too, screwed it up. Made so much more of that story than it really was. Stealing defensive signals. Chad in Atlanta. Hey, Chad.
What's going on, Fred? Eric, how are you guys doing?
What's up, Chad?
So, got a question on the draft. But also, we need to fix the Gillette promotional commercial you guys got going on, because we got four championships, not three.
Yeah, that's Kevin, you need to get the marketing department, whoever's in charge of that account. Got to get a new script for that spot.
All right. On a serious note, though, with the draft, what hypothetically, let's say the Patriots were interested in a running back, because I honestly think that's a need that needs to be addressed. As much as I love, you know, Blunt and Vereen, but hypothetically, what would they have to do? What are their options if they did, you know, seek out someone like Todd Gurley? What would be their options to move up and get him? Or could they move up and get him if they wanted to?
Right. They might not have to.
Yeah, they may not have to get, you know, he's coming off the injury. Running backs are not valued the way they used to be in the NFL. It used to be always like the top running back was always going to be one
five.
Of the top
yeah.
picks. That's not the case anymore unless, you know, he's just out of this world. So there is a good chance that Gurley, you know, is available down in the bottom of the draft. Question is, do the Patriots want to, you know, use a first-round pick on a running back? Paul would absolutely say no. You know, he doesn't think, you know, you don't need to give up that much to get a decent running back in the league anymore.
Well, I'm from Georgia, and I watch, you know, the Dogs play all the time. And he's a pretty incredible back. You know, injuries, you know, regardless of that, I mean, I really believe that would be a steal if he did happen to fall that late. Because he does have that versatile, you know, Patriot, you know, I can do this, I can do that. I mean, he can catch, he can run, he can play receiver, he can return kicks, punt. I mean, he's got it all. And I mean, if he does fall, I think that's an option they should go after. And even if he doesn't fall, that's why I was saying, I mean, what, you know, if other people were looking at him, what would the Patriots have to do to go up and get him.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, though, Chad. Like Fred said, running back is not as key a position as it used to be. I mean, the Patriots won a Super Bowl without a great running back.
Sure.
Most Super Bowl winners, I mean, name the last few. I mean, Seattle's obviously an exception, but, I mean, the Giants didn't have any great running backs, did they? The Steelers didn't have any great running backs. I mean, I, as much as I would like to get a player like that at any position, you know, get the most dynamic player you can, it's really not a need. And unless he falls really far, I don't want to invest anything to get up there.
In terms of what they would need to get him, I haven't looked at any mocks yet as to where he's projected, but I would imagine he's probably projected like after the middle of the first round, probably like 19th, 20th, and going up from 32nd, you'd probably have to give up. Patriots would probably have to dip into next year and give up a first-round pick for next year, as well as, of course, giving up their first-round pick this year. I don't think they'd be willing to do that.
No, I don't either.
You know?
I think it would be worth it. On another note, too, going into the future, I mean, depending upon how long, you know, what happens with Brady, it would just be something good to have a star running back like that for your future quarterback. Say if Garoppolo is the starter, all the pressure isn't on him. He would have someone hand it off to if needed to.
How about this though, Chad? Instead of getting a top flight running back, how about making your offensive line a top flight running line so that you can put a middle line a running back in there and he can still be productive? And you protect Brady better. So I would focus on that offensive line.
Yeah,
all right, thanks
I'm
for
with
the call,
Fred.
Chad.
I'm with you.
You know, I would do that first.
I like Gurley.
I do too.
I don't want to invest what I think it will take to get him.
I like Gurley
unless he falls really far.
I like the guy from Wisconsin too, Melvin Gordon. I really like him.
Right.
I
mean, if they target that position early, I think it's a mistake.
Yeah. And then there's a guy from Alabama, T.J. Yeldon, that was very productive. You know, I like all of those guys. I was, you know, growing up, I was always the running back guy. You know, that was, you know, whether it was Tony Dorsett or Emmitt Smith or John Riggins or Larry Zonka, who, you know, they were fullback. But I love the guys.
Different game back then.
Yeah, I love the guys carrying the ball. That was –
completely different game.
Yeah, it was so different. It's just not that way anymore, unfortunately. Miguel from PatsCap.com is writing in. What you got, Miguel?
Hey, Miguel.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
All right, I tweeted it out. Do you have any questions that you want me to call in and answer about? And somebody asked me about the safeties, comparing McCourty's deals with other safeties.
Yep.
So I just figured I'd just run them down for you, if you don't mind.
That would be great.
All right. For example, in the last couple of years, the market for safeties has gone up. While they're still getting paid less than cornerbacks, they are now up there. The top guy being Earl Thomas, he averages $10 million a year. I don't think that McCourty is in Earl Thomas's class, so I think we have established a ceiling for McCourty, and that being Earl Thomas's deal, which averages around $10 million a year. So Jarius Byrd last year, he got a ton of money, but he was also 10 months older than McCourty, and his deal was kind of like really, he got a lot of money, but it's mostly backloaded at the end. That's why the Saints were able to fit him in on the cap, because his 2014 cap hit was $3.5 million. So he's got a lot of money due at the end, which means he's going to probably get cut at the end. So he's not going to really see most of that money. So okay. I doubt, you know, that McCourty is going to agree to such a backloaded deal. Probably wants something like what Eric Weddle got, which is like a straight money deal. Eric Weddle got a contract, $13 million signing bonus, averaging around $8 million a year. And Eric Weddle reached the end of his deal, and he's up to, 2015 is last year in the deal, and he's probably looking to extend his contract. So that's what we're looking at right now. Last year was an interesting year for the free agents and safeties. We had several safety sign deals that averaged around $5 million a year. which I think that's the floor for McCourty. So somewhere between the floor at $5 million and the ceiling at $10 million is where I think he's going to get.
Yeah.
I think he'll sign around Eric Weddle money, which would make him around the fourth highest paid safety in the business.
Okay, I think that's fair.
And what kind of numbers are we looking at with that, Miguel?
Eric Weddle got a deal in that was a $13 million signing bonus that averages around $8.8 million a year.
$8 million.
Now you mentioned that you don't think McCourty would be willing to do a backloaded deal, but you know he knows the value of Revis, and if they go to him and say, "Look, you know, we'll give you a contract that has a lot of roster bonuses. So as you know, each year comes, you get a big bump." With your roster bonus, and it's a little bit more backloaded. Do you think, you know, taking into consideration, he knows how important Revis is because he plays next to him. Do you think he might be willing to take more of a backloaded deal?
Well, there's no doubt. See, Revis comes to the deal, he creates the money to save, to create the TK cap space for McCourty's deal.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yep.
Yeah, but in no matter what, Every veteran on the Patriots is getting a 46-man active roster bonus. There's only few, the great majority now have to have that in their contract no matter what. So I definitely think that he's going to get, no matter what, part of his deal is going to be 46-man active roster bonus no matter what. I just, I'm guessing that he's probably going to get like a half million dollar range. That he makes that money through roster bonuses.
Yeah.
Roster bonuses. So I could see a deal where you can make with him where his cap hit the first number is $4 million in 2015, and then you reach a deal with Revis. Let's say his first year cap number is somewhere between 14 and 16 million dollars. That's saving a $10 million. You got enough. That pays for McCourty. The pays for other people. And the other thing I probably should mention, and I don't know if you saw my tweets about this, that, you know, USA Today, Tom Palermo, who wrote a report today, earlier this week, saying that the Patriots one of 10 teams, 8 or 10 teams, that were below the 89% cash spending floor for in 2013 and 2014. To provide some background, in a new CBA, teams are required to spend 80% of the cap in cash
right.
over a four-year rolling period, mm-hmm. 2013-2016. In 2013, the Patriots spent a lot of money. They spent over 100% of the cash. I think they spent $127 million when the cap was $123. Last year, they spent less than that. So, and the average for the 2 years was 82.7. So if you're now underneath 89%, so they had to spend more money in 2015 and 2016 to reach that minimum.
In other words, Miguel,
they want to make deals and front load the deals with Revis and McCourty, so they make the, get that.
So they meet that threshold level.
So just for what you're saying is that teams need to have actually spent, given out money in cash, 80% of the cap. Not accounting
yes.
purposes. They actually had to have given out that money. That's what that means,
right? Because before, in the old CBA, the floor included like fake incentives. You know, those incentives that players never made.
Right.
In this new CBA, you actually have to spend the cash.
Mm-hmm.
You have to give the player the money.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it has to be an average over 4 years.
It's a 4 year period, 2013 to 2016.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers for 2014 are preliminary, but it does include reach incentives. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots' number goes up when that was reported from 82.7. That goes up because they did have
a lot of guys earn incentives, right?
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, that's why. So I do expect them the Patriots to. One reason I think they're going to spend the money is because of that. And the other reason I think they're going to trade up because you want to acquire players with draft picks with higher signing bonuses.
Hmm.
All right.
Interesting.
So, That's one thing I thought. That was,
okay. That's good stuff. It's excellent info. Good stuff,
Miguel.
Good 411. Thanks, Miguel. Keep on calling. Keep on tweeting. PatsCap.com. Miguel does it like no one else.
We've got Ryan Grigson, the Colts GM,
yeah.
who was, many believe, the instigator of the whole Deflategate thing. He's at the podium, and a lot of people are tweeting about him. I got some quotes if you want me to.
Yeah, sure. Go. Let's hear it.
Let me back up to the beginning of that here.
While you're
said,
doing
oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, Andrew from Red Bank, New Jersey, just quickly. Great show so far. I've been following Miguel's salary cap page for years now. He's fantastic. Kudos to giving him some airtime. It's so hard to listen to other callers on things we can and can't do without having any knowledge of the salary cap like Miguel has. Great
yeah,
job.
It is. Yeah. It's a great resource, and I'm glad he's a fan of the show.
Yep.
Grigson said he went into the AFC Championship game notifying the NFL that there were concerns from the Colts that the Patriots were using underinflated footballs. So he, even before the game,
right.
told the NFL, hey, I think they're doing something
okay.
Wrong. And then was asked if he felt that there's a perception now that the Colts instigated this as a way of discrediting the Patriots, and his response was, if rules were broken, we'll see. That's what the investigation is for. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it sounds like a lot of sour grapes.
Yeah, yeah.
But before even the game started.
Right.
So if the Colts had won the game or you know, blown the Patriots out, would we have even heard about any of this?
Well, again, this goes back to the procedure for the balls before the game. Okay, so the Colts come to the officials and say, you know, we think that the Patriots, you know, are using softer balls than they should. All right, so the referees have their chance with the balls to see if, in fact, that is the case.
Mm-hmm.
They say, no, these balls are good to go. And then now, you know, did the Patriots tamper with them in between that time and when the game started? That's easily rectified going forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just don't let anyone touch the balls after the refs have approved them
yeah.
until the game starts. You know, this isn't rocket science here. It's silliness. It really is. Oh, my God. You know, the Quell Jackson, that's already been, you know, that's
quelled.
Gone. Yeah, Quell, because he said he didn't notice anything. So, I don't know.
But, yeah, it's interesting, though, that because a lot of people thought initially the report was Jackson makes the interception, he goes to the sideline, gives the ball to the equipment guy, who then tells the coach,
right.
who then tells Grigson, who right. then tells the NFL.
Right.
That's not the case.
No.
Grigson told them before the game, week before the game.
So this sounds like a sting operation where, you know, they let the game go on, and then at halftime they check balls, you know.
Which, and you know what's funny? I remember Andy said that he noticed during the AFC Championship that Grigson was, because, you know, the GM and the PR people sit, the visiting team sit pretty close to where we sit in
right.
the press box.
Yeah.
He said he looked over early in the game and he saw Grigson like in a posture that was like tense and fuming. He said that on the show a couple of weeks ago. And he said it struck him at the time, but he thought maybe it was just because the Colts were losing and
right.
he was upset. But then when all this came out, he kind of started to think, oh, maybe he knew something about it at the time. And this clearly, his comments today, Grigson's comments today, clearly show that he knew days before the game that this was going to be an issue, because he brought up the issue to the NFL
right.
before they even played the game.
Right. Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Nonsense. Sybil writes in, or Seabill, I'm sorry, in Northeast Connecticut. Love your show. Guys, after 2 p.m., I start compulsively checking for the availability of the podcast. Anyway, after listening to your show on Tuesday and hearing Fred's story about his blanket in the hospital, I rewatched the Super Bowl ceremony award between Goodell and Belichick, and I started to laugh as I could hear Fred's voice over Mr. Kraft's voice. Just give it to me. Yeah. Yeah. Kraft really didn't have much time for Goodell that day.
No.
And VIP Stripper said, Colts told the NFL. If the NFL didn't tell the Patriots, did the NFL set a trap?
That's what Tom Curran just tweeted.
Yeah. I mean, because I was talking to somebody the other day who's been with many teams, and there was one point where they knew another team was doing something. I forget what it was. It wasn't a big thing. And basically they called the team and said, look.
The team or the league?
the team that was in question. I don't know if it was a Stickum thing. I forget what it was. They said, look, we know people are talking about this. We've got our eye on you. You know, just don't do it again, all right? We're watching you. And they didn't do it, and that was it.
So the team that this person worked for?
Yeah.
Called the other team?
Or they called the league, and then the league called
the league
other,
called the other team and said,
and
okay.
said, hey, look, we're watching you.
Oh, okay.
We've had reports. Just watch it. You know, don't.
Yeah. Nobody from the NFL gave Patriots any indication of that until halftime, apparently, of the championship game.
The league is not supposed to be complicit in some other team's, you know, witch hunt. That's not what it's a game of enforcement for the league, not entrapment.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's not entrapment. They're supposed to enforce it and prevent these things from happening, not trap teams.
Yeah.
You know, so right there again, Goodell should shut it down right there just because of the method. And that's assuming that the Patriots did something wrong, which I know they didn't. But it should be enforcement, not entrapment, you know. So right there, if I was Goodell, say, you know what, I'm throwing this out of court.
Fred, this
I'm throwing it out of court.
This is getting really bad for Roger Goodell.
It really is.
And I don't. Some people have already brought it up, but I think he's really setting himself up for being asked to step down.
Well, you know, you need 24 votes from the owners in order to relieve him of his job, unless he resigns, of course.
Right.
But 24 owners have to. Vote.
They need a two-thirds majority.
Yeah, so there's very little chance of that happening, you know.
But he's giving the league.
If you're the owners, you're like, yeah, we got this guy more now than we ever did. Now we can make him do anything we want him to do because he's, you know, he's floating in the wind right now. You know, he has no.
He's giving the league a bad reputation.
I know. But a lot of these owners, all they care about is their own bottom line, and you know. But they do have to realize you're hurting the brand, which is the NFL shield. You're hurting that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I overall I like Goodell. I've lost a lot of confidence with him. It started to erode in Spygate when he destroyed those tapes. I couldn't understand why he did that. And then you know this whole thing. Is really lost a lot of confidence. Ray Rice, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of this is just control of the people underneath them. You know, these people who, you know, have their little fiefdoms. I've talked about this before and kind of, I don't know if they go rogue, but they kind of feel they don't need to answer to anybody.
Yep.
You know?
Because maybe a lot of them have been around longer than
they've
he has.
They've been around longer. And they're all, they come from, you know, other teams or they come from, you know, they're all, you know, with these huge egos and big titles and,
Well, either he needs to clean house.
I think he should use this as an excuse.
Or they need somebody who's more able to do that, able to control the people underneath
him. I think he should, if he stays, I think he should use this as an excuse to clean his house, to get his house in order, to make sure that the people who are working underneath him are loyal to him. And not to somebody else. You know, they didn't come from the Jets years ago.
Loyal to the league.
Loyal to the shield.
Not necessarily him, but loyal to the league.
Yeah, they didn't come to the, you know, to him from another team and are still kind of loyal to that team. You know, and that team still has a direct line to that person, which I know happens. I'm telling you. You know? You know, if we play somebody, it's like, you know, Mike Reese. We all love Mike Reese. Mike Reese started here. I feel like anytime I want, I can pick up the phone and talk to Mike Reese. Not that I can tell him what to write or anything, but I feel comfortable talking to him,
mm-hmm.
you know, because he started here. And I'm sure that if somebody works for the league and worked for another team for 10 years before that, if I'm from that team, I feel pretty comfortable.
Yeah, if you have that kind of relationship.
I feel like I kind of got you that job.
Well,
you know, I had a hand in your career.
Well, but especially if you have a good personal and working relationship with the person.
Yeah.
You know, if it's someone you didn't get along with or didn't talk to, you're not going to do that kind of thing. But Reese is a good example. We all got along with Mike.
Yeah.
It's very easy to talk to him.
When Paul gets his job as a beer distributor for Miller, I'm going to feel like I had
a
role in getting him that job. You know? So when I need a six-pack, Paul, I expect you to show up on my doorstep with my six-pack.
It'll be a five-pack because he'll have consumed one.
Yeah, he gets the VIG, you know.
Carrying charges.
Right.
The holiday five-pack.
Right. That woke you up, talking about beer. That got you involved.
Got me involved.
Okay. Chester's in Portland. Hey, Chester.
Hey, what's going on, guys? You know, when I heard this news about this NFL employee, you know, it's just I'm so with you guys on the fact that I think Roger Goodell needs to go. I think he needs to ask to be resigned. You know, and beyond that, I just think that he's lost control of the league, of the it's just not governed properly, in my opinion, as a fan. You know, but I feel like it needs to start from the top. There needs to be a trickle-down effect, and they do need to clean house. They need to redo how they do business. I mean, you know, you think about how many, you know, millions and billions of dollars go through this league. You know, I expect them to be run in a very, stringent environment, and, you know, this needs to be cleaned up. It's an atrocity, in my opinion. But, yeah. You know, rather than dwelling on the negatives, I got to say, What a great show today. I mean, this again is another reason why PFW stands alone to everybody else. You know, you get so much information right now with the combine, you know, the insights with Paul and Scar and these Florida State linemen. I mean, you just can't get that at any other team this entire league. You know, Miguel chiming in on Pat's cap. This is such a phenomenal show. I just want to remind the listeners how damn lucky we are. With all that, but
it's our show, it's Chester. It's our show. It's Patriots Nation's show. It's our show.
This show is so damn clutch. I'm honored to be a caller on this show. I mean, you guys just absolutely own it every time. But just real quick on the combine, what I'm looking for, I want to see more grit up front. You know, I know we're talking about the lines, the trenches, but you know, we need depth at linebacker. I want to see a linebacker that's a bulldog that's going to go out there and salivate and look to kick some damn ass on third down. You know, I feel like we've got some of that with Hightower and Collins, but I want to see an enforcer. I hate to say it, but I want to see a Brandon Spikes two-down kind of guy that's going to go in there and just go rabid on people. I think that's a need. And also, I think, you know, we've got to continue to look for cornerback depth. I'm not comfortable with who we have as young guys, aside from our boy Butler, you know, came through in the clutch. You know, but Logan Ryan, Arrington, you know, some of these lower-level guys, these younger guys, I just don't have a ton of faith in. I feel like we've got to continue to go to the well and continue to look into the draft for some depth and talent there. But anyway, I just wanted to applaud you guys on the hell of a show, and I'm out. Over and out.
All right.
Wow, thanks,
Chester. Inside linebacker to keep your eye on.
Okay.
Guy's name is Zach Vigil. He comes out of Utah State. He's about 6'2".
Okay.
You know, he's not a huge guy.
Oh, that's not bad.
He's got pretty good speed, you know, 4'7", in that range. So he's not a, you know, he's not a amazing. But the thing about him is, he's a real leader out in the field, very vocal, and they say he's very instinctive.
6'2", what's his weight?
I have to look that up. Hold on for a second. That his weight is 230, 232.
Little light,
but, you know, get him in the program. You could put on another 10 pounds, get him in the 240 range.
So we have to be vigilant with him.
But he's a vocal leader. Just what, you know, Chester was just talking about, a guy that will get out there and you know, get the guys pumped up. And he's got great instincts. And he's a smart player. And, you know, again, along the Mayo, you know, kind of mold, he's just very football intelligent. So
Utah State?
Yeah. So, you know, you put a few pounds on, bring him in, you know?
Okay.
And, you know, he could go – I think the Patriots could get him in the third or fourth round.
That's his projection right now?
I don't know what his projection is.
Oh, they don't have projections on there?
Let me see. Well, no, he's
– Or they just rank
him
right
now? Yeah, just rank. He's like the eighth ranked inside linebacker.
Well, then, yeah, and inside linebacker is not a spot that goes
exactly,
high anyway.
Exactly. But he could be a guy like, you know, who's the kid from
Buzz Lesney?
Out west that played for a while here. Not Wyoming. His parents had a bar. Out.
Dane Fletcher. Yeah.
All right, now, Dane Fletcher wasn't that great, but he had a role, certainly on special teams, and once in a while he'd come in and make a play.
And he was a little bit bigger body, too.
A little bigger, but this guy could be better in that role, you know? And so keep an eye on him.
Yeah.
Dave's in Connecticut. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good.
Another great show, you guys. Just keep rolling right along.
Thank you.
Get ready for the season. It's, you know, guys, very informative what's going on with this the Flake Gate, I guess we want to call that. I mean, I think that's just a joke. And I think Goodell definitely needs to get his facts straight before he starts coming out or allowing these stories to come out, not just with us, but throughout the NFL.
Yeah.
Second, guys, I agree with everyone saying. I think draft-wise, we need to, you know, beef up the offensive and defensive line. Question for you, is Alan Branch a free agent this year?
Did they sign him on 1 year deal? I doubt that.
I think he was a 2 year.
2 year deal, Alan Branch.
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I know they're probably going to ask Vince for to take a pay cut, and I don't know how well that's going to go to keep him. So.
I don't think they paid a lot for Alan Branch. Honestly, I mean, he was in a lot. He was in the. You know, he screwed up with his career up to this point, and so. You know, he was looking to resurrect his career. I don't think the Patriots played a lot. So, you know, I don't factor him as, oh, you got to do something with Branch in order to free up money. I think it'd be very minimal the amount of relief you would get.
He was talking about Wilfork.
Wilfork. Well,
keeping Branch. Yeah. I thought Branch had a pretty solid year for us.
I don't think Branch is nearly as athletic as Wilfork is.
As Wilfork?
Yeah, I really don't.
You know, even though you have that size up front.
He's got great size, but he just doesn't seem as mobile as Wilfork is.
As Vince?
Yeah, no.
All right, well, I mean, that might be a need in the draft if that's going to segue with Vince, you know. I think,
and he is a free agent, by the way. Branch is free. I don't know if he'll be back, honestly. He was more of a stopgap guy. They needed help in there, and they brought him
right.
in.
Right, and losing Dominic Easley
right.
on the IR didn't help in that situation.
All right.
So hopefully he'll be back.
Okay, Dave, we're up against it. Thanks for calling. You're our last caller today. We will be back next Tuesday with more, and by then the guys will be fully back. They'll have all the stuff in the Patriots.com that they learned in the Combine, so plenty to talk about. On Tuesday, it's going to be a huge show with everybody back in the studio. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next Tuesday. We'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.